We'll start with the prayers. Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum. We continue our study of Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter. We are in the 18th verse with Shankara Bhashya. In this introductory phase of chapter 2, Lord Krishna gives the highest teaching not only in the Bhagavad Gita but also in the entire Upanishadic literature. What is that teaching which he is talking about? Normally, we think ourselves as the body and the mind, and then we act in the world. What Lord Krishna teaches is, we are not this body and we are not this mind. There is something which is there in this body and mind, which is called Atma, which is eternal, which is always there. It does not depend on the body. It does not depend on the mind. This is a very, very big discovery all of us have to make. What happens when we operate in this world with body and mind as me? Lord Krishna says we suffer from samsara. Samsara means attachment. Samsara means dukkham, sorrow. Samsara means delusion in life, confusions. The whole project of the spiritual journey of a seeker is to identify this Atma as me. This identify this inner essence as our essential nature. That is what is being described in these verses up to verse number 30. From 12th verse till the 30th verse, we are now in the 18th verse. All these verses are describing something which I don't know. So Bhagavad Gita is teaching me something which I don't know. It is removing the ignorance about Atma. With this short background, let me go to where we stopped last week. And that is verse number 18. Now in this verse, Lord Krishna is talking about two types of nasha. Nasha means destruction. What are the two types of destruction which happens to all of us? One is called as nitya nasha. And second is called as anitya nasha. If destruction is of two types, then eternity is also of two types. What is eternity? Eternity means it is always, I am always there as Atma. So Adinasha means I do not have destruction at all. That destruction is called as, in Sanskrit, it is called as Dhvamsa Rupa Nasha Rahita. Dvamsa Rupa Nasha. I will explain to you. The second eternity is Nityasya. That means there is no Parinama. There is no change. Parinama Rupa Nasha Rahita. Science also talks about non-destruction of matter. And it says matter is eternal. So to convey the meaning that there is something which is eternal, Lord Krishna and Shankaracharya, they go into the depths of destruction and what is non-destruction. Atma has no dvamsa rupa nasha. That means there is no first type of death. Body, as you all know, is not eternal. It perishes. It is born and it perishes. What about consciousness? What about Atma? In Atma, there is no change. It is called as changeless, nirvikara. So there is no total death, or there is no partial death. Total death is called as dvamsa rupa. I will give you an example, then it will be more clear. Total destruction is dvamsa rupa. Partial destruction is parinami nasha. Two different descriptions are there. Matter is eternally changing. Consciousness is eternally changeless. Now, this is a very important point which Lord Krishna makes right from this verse onwards. And he continues this topic till the 21st verse regarding destruction. Dvamsa nasha means complete body dies. Nitya nasha, nityasya nasha means the cells, they die. I have explained this to you in the last week class. For example, I told you last week, every 8 years, all the cells in our body, they undergo change. That means continuously there is change happening in the cells of the body. That is called as Nityasya Nasha. Nityam. Nityam means always changing. Like atoms, electrons, protons. In science, we study that in our science class, in physics class, we see that there is change in our cells. So the change in cells is called as Nityasya Nasha. When the body itself dies, all the cells, they die at one shot. That is what is called as dvamsa nasha. What about the self now? That is what is being described in the next section, from topic 143 to 149. What is this eternal factor called Atma in our body-mind complex? See, we must know that there is something called as Atma in this body. All we are studying is about this Atma, that it is changeless, there is no modification in it, it is different than the body. Now, eternal is repeated two times. Aprameyasya means aparichedasya. There are two words again in Sanskrit which is used by Shankaracharya. What is the meaning of aprameyam? Aprameyam means it is not an object. What is not an object? Atma is always the subject. I, aham. When you tell in your own mind, I, that I does not refer to the body. It refers to the subject, I, aham. In Sanskrit, the subject is called as aham. There is another word which is used. So, aprameyam means, prameyam means an object. Aprameyam means what? It is not an object. In the world, everything in the world is prameyam. It is object of our sense organs. Everything in creation is object of our sense organs. But what is Atma? Atma is aprameyam. It is the subject I. For example, in the mirror, I can see the face. I can see a reflection of the face. Can I see the original face by itself? No. Similarly, I, the original consciousness, can never be seen. It is aprameyam. It is always the subject. It is never an object. We must remember this when we are meditating. So, in meditation, we must use the word aprameyam. Aprameyam means I do not become an object for the sense organs. Second word which is used is aparichedasya. Parichedasya means what? In Sanskrit means it can be known through some instrument of knowledge. Parichedyam means knowable. What is knowable? Whatever is seen through the sense organs or through inference or through some examples, upamanam, or we see cause-effect relationship, which is called as arthapatti. These are all some things which we can infer by using our sense organs. What Shankaracharya is teaching here is Atma is aparichedyam. Aparichedyam means it is not inferred. Then the next question will be, is Atma known through the Shastra? Vedanta Pramanam teaches us Atma. Initially, in the spiritual study, we always say that we can know the Atma through the scriptures. This is for a junior student. As you study more and more about the features of this Atma, and then you become a senior student, then what the same Upanishad says, even Shastra is not a source for this Atma. We will explain how Shankaracharya is going to do that. In Brahdanik Upanishad, there is a mantra, this mantra I have quoted here, which says it is the inner essence of prana, dhyana, samana, udana, all the internal physiological functions, it is the internal self. In Brahdanik Upanishad, Yajnavalkya is a guru and Usastha is a student. So he is teaching the student, what is this Atma? This Atma is the inner self. Like the heart of a person is the inner self. But beyond this heart and the organs, there is something called as Atma. It is known initially through the Upanishads. But later on, the Upanishad says that Atma is self-evident. It shines by its own light. That is for a senior student. After Jnanam, Atma becomes self-evident, self-conscious principle. Then what we will say, it is not pratyaksham, it is not experienced through the sense organs, it is swata siddham. Okay, next, Shankaracharya goes a little bit deeper about theory of knowledge. He uses another three technical words, simple words, but just for you to understand. You see, when we use Sanskrit, the language of Bhagavad Gita is Sanskrit. And we have to use these words to understand what the meaning of those words are. We cannot avoid. Many people ask me, there's so much of Sanskrit. Is it important for me to know the Sanskrit? Well, if you can study Sanskrit and then learn Bhagavad Gita, it's wonderful. But study of Sanskrit is not easy. Pramata means knower. For this verse 18, there is a long commentary. Shankaracharya writes, you know, some of the important verses like 18 and 20. Shankaracharya writes a long commentary. So here, what he says is, Atma is Swata Siddha. It is the ultimate knower. Pramata means the knower. Pramitishuhu means the person who wants to know. Desirer, one who desires to know, is called as Pramata. This word Pramata comes very often in the Upanishads. There is a reflection of consciousness in the mind. That reflection of consciousness is called as Pramata. What is consciousness? Consciousness is Chaitanya, pure Chaitanya. It only becomes a Pramata whenever the mind is awake. In sleep, for example, you are not called as Pramata. Pramata means a knower. A knower of the world, knower of the body is born. The knower is born. I'm not talking about the body. The knower of the body is born when the mind is awake. But when the mind is sleeping, what happens? The same knower of the body without the mind instrument is called as Sakshi Chaitanya. Try to get this point. Same knower, the reflected consciousness goes back and joins the original consciousness when we are sleeping. At that time when we are sleeping, we are Swata Siddha. I am existing by myself, self-evident. To know the body, to know the world, I require sense organs and also the mind. But to exist, I do not require the sense organs. This is another very important point which Shankaracharya brings out in these verses. Deha means body. Dehi means the embodied Atma. So here, what are we discussing in the 18th verse? We are discussing the Dehi. There is a consciousness principle which is called as Dehi, which is the content of the Deha. Deha means body. For example, you take a pot. Pot is compared to a body. But inside the pot, there is a space. We call it pot space. So the pot space is comparable to the Dehi, the content, consciousness. Try to get this point. Content space is comparable to the consciousness, awareness. What happens when the pot is broken? The pot gets broken, but the space joins the total space. Joins is only a seeming joining. It was always one space. So similarly, consciousness, which we are feeling now with help of the body and the sense organs, that consciousness, when the body breaks, when the body breaks means what? When the mind travels to after death, when the mind travels, the body is empty. We say that soul has departed. So what departs is the reflected consciousness and the mind. Now Lord Krishna is saying, don't look at mind and reflected consciousness. Look at yourself as only the consciousness aspects in the mind. That consciousness is Nityaha, eternal. It is Anashinaha. Anashinaha means indestructible. In the universe, you can destroy everything. What is one thing which we cannot destroy? It is the space. Why we cannot destroy space? Because it is indivisible. What about consciousness, awareness? Awareness is very similar to space. Consciousness is also indivisible. In one consciousness, the entire jivarashis, they come, they exist, and then they disappear. Very, very big idea in Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads. So, matter is changingly eternal, like the cells in the body are changingly eternal. Atma, the consciousness, is changelessly eternal. Very important, very, very important. Changelessly eternal. That means there is no modification in Atma at all. Modification happens only in Anatma, which is matter. Matter is eternal, consciousness is eternal. Both are eternal. What we have to do, matter is parinami. Parinami means it is changing. Consciousness is changeless. And consciousness is aprameyam. There is only one thing in creation which is aprameyam. So that subject Atma is called as Sat Chit Ananda. If somebody asks you in one line, you have studied the entire Bhagavad Gita of 701 verses. Can you tell me the essence of what did you learn? You should say, I have learned that I am of the nature of Atma, which is pure existence, pure consciousness, and pure ananda, pure happiness. What do you mean by pure existence, consciousness, happiness, sat chit ananda? It means that there is something in this universe which is without the universe. What Bhagavad Gita teaches us, Lord Krishna is teaching, is try to understand this nature of consciousness. All of us, we feel we know this body. But how do you know this body? What makes this body body known to you? That is the question you should ask. Prameyam means object. It is object of, objects are made up of five elements. And all these objects are mithya by nature. They are mithya. Mithya means they are available for experience, but they are not the real self. What about the knower, consciousness? Conscious, the knower, has got two states. One is Svata Siddhaha, which is its pure form. Then there is another form, which is whenever the body and mind are available, original consciousness is there. But that also appears in the mind as the knower. See, you know your surrounding, you know your body, you know your sense organs are looking at your universe. I stay in Singapore, I see, I am aware of this body. Through this body, I see my surroundings. Consciousness, which is the ultimate knower, is the same. That consciousness, through your body, sees a world. Through my body, it sees another world. So there are billions of people who are experiencing the world, but consciousness is one. The ultimate pramata. Pramata is a word which we generally use for reflected consciousness. But sometimes Shankaracharya uses for sakshi also. Pramanam means it is an instrument. It is an instrument for the pramata. To know the prameya vastu. Prameya means to know the world. Knower, this knower, I am so and so, I am Krishna, I am Rama, I am Manikandan, I am so and so. So, I am, the pramata is already known. So, first what happens, the pramata knows the subject is already there. Whenever I wake up in the morning, the first thing which happens is the pramata rises. Let me make a difference between two things. The original consciousness, I will use the term sakshi. The reflected consciousness plus the mind, I will use the word pramata. So when the waker rises every day from sleep, he becomes the pramata. The same waker in sleep state is called as sakshi when there is no I connected to the mind. Mind is sleeping. Mind is tamasic in sleep state. So, if Atma is self-evident, do we need to work for Atmajnanam? That is another question a sincere seeker will ask. This Atma is ever known as Aham, 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 I. It is the most popular thing which is always there. But we don't know that Atma by itself. We know the mixture of Atma with Anatma body, with Anatma mind. This in Dakshinamurti Stotram, the seventh mantra, it says that this is a continuous, changeless entity during childhood, boyhood, youth, and old age. It continues. I am, I am, I am. I am is ever experienced. That is why it is called as eternal. Changelessly, don't forget two things. One is changelessly eternal, another is changingly eternal. Body is changingly eternal. Do you all feel the body is there? Yes, yes, yes. I've been living in the body for 50 years, 70 years. This Atma is not Pramana Siddham. Pramana Siddham means I don't need any eyes or ears or, skin or something to know Atma. Why? It is Swatha Siddham. But to know the world, do I need some instrument? Yes. See, this is the difference between Atma and Anatma, which we study in Atma, in Atma Bodha as well as in Tattva Bodha. The pure Chit is called as Sakshi. The Chit with mind is called as Pramata. It is Chit Abhasa, reflected consciousness. So reflected consciousness is the Karanam for the experience of the world. Chidabhasa. In Mandukya Upanishad, it is called as the third pada. For those who are doing Mandukya Upanishad, the third pada is called as Karanam, and the first two padas is called as Karyam. Third pada means the sleep state. The sleep state I, the sleeper I, is the Karanam for the waker and the dreamer. Karanam. One is a Karanam, another is Karyam. For example, sun, the original sun is like the Sakshi. The reflected sun in a mirror or in a pool of water, you go to a lake and see the sun reflected in the lake. To know the sun in the lake, you need upadhi, you need eyes. Your own eyes have to see. You need mind. You need reflection of consciousness. All this is called sopadikam. Sopadikam means it requires upadhi. Upadhi means all the instruments of knowledge. So consciousness is like that sun which always is shining. Suppose you want to know the sun. Suppose sun is there. Sun knows by itself. Sun knows itself by itself. Similarly, consciousness knows itself by itself. It doesn't require anything else. See, all this analysis which Shankaracharya is doing now is to take our mind from the body mind to consciousness. All this analysis, why are we doing? Initially he said there is something called as consciousness, which is indestructible. Now, he is explaining to us what does that indestructible, how does it express in our experiences? That is what he is trying to explain in all this analysis. So, Pramata, Pramanam, Prameyam. Pramata is the reflected consciousness plus the mind becomes the knower. at the empirical level, at the Vyavaharika level. The same Pramata at the Paramarthika level, at the higher level, when there is no universe experience, is called as Sakshi. If you are not clear about this, please put a question in the chat box. I will explain to you one more time. This Pramata, Pramanam, Prameyam is easily understood when we are in the waking state. I am using the body as an instrument. I become the knower of the body and the knower of the world. Pramata, Pramanam, Prameyam. Prameyam means object, worldly objects. Pramanam means instrument of knowledge, eyes, mind, senses. All the five senses. So Shankaracharya says the Atma need not be known or need not be known through a Pramanam, even called Shastra Pramanam, at the highest level. Initially, for a junior student, yes, we will tell them Shastra is the source of knowledge. I know through Shastra. But in the end, we say, you drop the Shastra also and know yourself as the pure Satchidananda Atma. And what happens to me if I know this Atma? In Chandogya Upanishad, the teacher Sanat Kumara teaches the student Narada. He says, if you know this Atma, you will cross samsara, which is the biggest problem for all of us. Samsara if you want to understand samsara, it's very easy. I'll tell you how. Whatever your mind thinks is samsara. Your mind is thinking, oh, worried about the past, worried about the future. It is samsara. These are all expressions of ignorance. Avidya, kama, karma. These are the three stands, three legs on which samsara is standing. So here the question is, if the self is experienced by itself and is always experienced, why do we study Shastra then? In Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, in this mantra, 2, 4, 5, Yajnavalkya is the guru and he teaches his student who is his wife. And what is the answer given? Why do we need to study this Atma? Because there are obstacles in our mind. What are the obstacles? There are a lot of questions, doubts about this Atma. All of us know that we are all there, we exist. But we have a doubt whether the body is I or there is something else called as the I. Therefore, Yajnavalkya teaches his wife and he says, first of all, you do Shravanam. Hear the scriptures. It is called as consistent, systematic study of the Bhagavad Gita. The second discipline which the guru teaches his wife is, after you have heard, reflect on that. Mananam, do mananam. In your own mind. Suppose you are walking in a garden. You take a walk, or you're walking to a bus stop, or you're walking towards a train station, or you're just waiting for someone. And your mind has got nothing to think about. At that time, if you have done enough Shravanam, if you have listened to the scriptures for a period of time, what happens is, this mananam will start automatically in your mind. Most of the students who are attending these sessions for last 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, I think. I think some of you are attending for a long, long time. They come and tell me my mananam has started. I didn't know, I don't know how, but again, like sometimes my mind starts thinking about Atma because I've heard about this Atma. So mananam means reflection. And then the third exercise which all of us have to do is Nididhyasanam. This is the mantra 245, chapter 245 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which tells us how should we conduct our spiritual study. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. What is Nididhyasanam? Nididhyasanam means earlier I used to think I am the body. I have to remove that doubt. I have to remove that notion from my mind. I am not the body. I am the Atma. Again and again, you have to express yourself internally. You don't have to tell anybody else in the world. Because this is a self-study. It is a spiritual study. You're trying to understand the spiritual side of your own self. What Shankaracharya says is, we have several misconceptions about our experience, which is mixed experience. We can never experience Atma by itself. In sleep, we are Atma. It is not an experience. For experience, you require mind and sense organs. That is why we say it is Atma Jnanam. Realization. I am that. I am that which I have, which has been taught in the Bhagavad Gita. Atma doesn't have any attributes. Anatma has got all the attributes. So what I do, I take the anatma attributes of the body or mind, and then what do? I make a mistake. What is the mistake? I have got three shariram's: sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram. If you have done tathobodha, you will understand gross body, subtle body, which means like the mind and the pranas. And the karana shariram is the body in which is the body of ignorance, which is the body in which we all sleep. It is called as causal body. What the Shruti does, what does the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishad, what do? They teach me, I am the chit, I am the consciousness, I am the original consciousness, pure consciousness, which is separate than the three bodies, which is separate than the three avastas. It is not the waker I, it is not the dreamer I, it is not the sleeper I. But who is this I? This I is attributeless, stateless I. And what is the pure I? It is called as Turiyam in Mandukya Upanishad. It is called as Atma, or with reference to the body, it's called as Atma. With reference to the whole universe, it is called as Brahman. What is the mistake which we commit? Shankaracharya says, body has got overweight or body has got underweight. What do I translate in my verbal form? I am overweight. I have to do exercise. What you should say is, I am Atma. My body has got extra weight. I need to shed the weight. Therefore, I will do exercise. I'll go for a walk. I will go to the gym and so on. So this is an internal. Outside, you may tell everybody that I'm going for a walk. I know the doctor has recommended me. Outside, for transactions, you can say. But internally, you should remember, I am the Atma. Atma has got no weight. Atma has got no attributes at all. Similarly, Sukshma Sharira, the subtle body. All of us have got desires, attachment and aversion, raga and dvesha. We also have experienced krodha. Krodha means anger. Constantly we are worried. What will happen to the body? What will happen to my relatives? What will happen? All the worries you put together in one basket. All the worries, right from your childhood till today, and whatever you may worry in the future also. All the worries, you put them into one basket. That basket is called as Sukshma Shariram. It is a body. It is made up of matter. It is an Atma. So when you say, I am Atma, all the thoughts regarding your worries is dropped. Mentally, it is dropped mentally. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, again the thought will come. But that is due to prarabdha karma. You cross over prarabdha karma and say, I the Atma don't have any kama, krodha, raga, dvesha. Similarly, the attributes of karana sharira. Oh, I don't know anything about myself. All of us, we say this. I don't know who I am. In sleep, I don't know who I am. In waking, I know I am the body. In dream also, I know there is some dream world. Maybe the mind is thinking about something. But in sleep, what happens? I don't know anything. I don't know anything is called as Mula Avidya, ignorance. So the attributes of the Karana Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, Sthula Shariram, I learn to drop those attributes from I, the Atma. What about Chid Abhasa, the reflected consciousness? That reflected consciousness also has an attribute. What is that attribute of RC, reflected consciousness? The attribute is, it is knower. It knows the world. Shankaracharya says, you have to drop that temporary knower also, which is with the mind and the body. Knower also has limitation. I know this body. I don't know all the bodies in the world. I don't even know my neighbor's body. So knower has got limitation. Knower is nothing but only a reflection of consciousness in the mind. And where does the mind exist? It is, every mind is attached to one body. So here, Shankaracharya teaches us this Atma is beyond the three bodies which we study in Tattva Bodha. And then this Atma is not the Pramata, which is the knower of the body mind. It is not the Pramanam, which is again the body with sense organs. It is not the Prameyam. Prameyam means it is not the object. In sleep, the reflected consciousness resolves into original consciousness. Like the space in the pot resolves into the total space when the container is broken, it resolves. Similarly, the container called as the body in which we live in the waking state, that container is resolved in the sleep state. And what remains? There is only one Chaitanyam. Like the space, there is only one space. Similarly, one consciousness alone is imperishable. It is changelessly available throughout our life. See, don't forget what we are studying is there is one changeless principle called as Atma. All these descriptions we are studying, three Sharirams, all this is to tell us how to differentiate this consciousness from the Anatma, body, mind and the world. When I say Aham Brahma Asmi, I am Brahman, or we say Aham Atma Asmi, I am this Atma, this consciousness, awareness. What does it say? What are we trying to attribute? We are saying that we are attributeless Turiya Atma. We are attributeless. We are not the waker. That is why in the seventh mantra of Mandukya Upanishad, it says, I am not the Chidabhasa, which is the waker, dreamer, sleeper. Always remember, Chidabhasa is the knower. Reflected consciousness is the knower. Original consciousness does not know anything. Because in original consciousness, there is no world, there is no body, and there is no mind. So we transcend the three bodies, we transcend the three gunas, and then we own up the pure state as my Swarupam. When you are able to claim that aspect of you, which is changelessly present, it is called as moksha. It is not something I know outside. It is not something which I know inside. But the knowerhood itself is dropped. Knowerhood is pramata. And consciousness is always behind the knower. Knower is always together with the mind. Mind means body, sense organs. So in the Vyavaharika plane, we learn to drop waker eye, dreamer eye, sleeper eye. All these three are available for experience. But they are not Satyam. What is Satyam? Turiya Atma, the fourth stage, which is the absolute stage. What do you mean by absolute stage? Absolute stage means beyond which there is nothing. The last mantra of chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita. 27th mantra of chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita, which talks about the three gunas. The last verse, 27th mantra, is a very important mantra. I'm just sidetracking because I want you to understand that absolute, what is absolute nature of mind? Absolute nature means I am always there. Beyond that, there is nothing. Absolute is not relative. It exists all the time. Relative means waker, dreamer, sleeper. Continuously changing. Again and again. Waker, dreamer, sleeper. Throughout every day. But who am I? I am the absolute I, which is called as Atma I, which is called as the Chit I. That Chit I is not a Pramata. That is the lesson in this mantra. Shastra is the ultimate pramana for chit. And what does it say? This chit is self-evident and it is without the Triputi. Triputi means pramata, pramanam, prameyam. So when I operate Vedanta, and when I operate Vedanta means what? In my mind, I bring back the thoughts of this verse. Atma is Nityaha, Atma is Aparichedaha. Aparichedaha means it is not limited by the body or the sense organs. And it is nityaha. Changelessly it is existing. Changeless, eternal, and changing eternal is very clear to me after this verse is understood by us. Atra pita apita bhavati, mata amata bhavati, loka aloka bhavati, deva adeva bhavati, veda avedaha bhavati. Most important is veda aveda bhavati, Brahmanic Upanishads. All the important revelations of Atma are all there in Brahmanic Upanishad. Brahmanic Upanishad is the biggest Upanishad. Six chapters, khandas, six khandas. Wonderful revelations are given in Bharatanika. Like this, just now we saw Shravanam Mananam Nidityasnam, Shrotavyaha, Mantavyaha, Nidityasitavya. These are all important for seeker. So in the state of sleep state, a father is not a father. Asleep, a mother is not a mother. The world is not a world. Devata is not the devata. I pray to Lord Muruga, Lord Krishna, Lord Ganesha in the waking state. It is a relative state in which there is karanam and karya. There is prayer and then I get phala. That is karya. But in the sleep state, in the absolute state, there is no relationships. A thief is not a thief. A killer is not a killer. So all the attributes which we attribute to I, the unknowingly, all those attributes are not there in the sleep state. And Upanishad says that is the real state. That is the absolute state. That is what I am all the time. For that absolute state does not require the body. In the next 2-3 verses, we are going to discuss that. So, Shastra Pramanam shows us the way to understand this Atma. I have already explained to you this Brahmanic Upanishad before. So, if Brahman is our real nature, Shankaracharya says, understand it. There is no mystical experience for Atma. Pure understanding alone is required. Therefore, when you are a seeker of knowledge, when you are a seeker of truth, when you are seeking God, you are called as Jignyasu. Jignyasu means you are a seeker of, you are inquiring about the nature of God. In the 12th chapter, Lord Krishna says, a Jignyasu Bhakta alone realizes me. He is the one who is fit for the study of Bhagavad Gita. A Jignyasu Bhakta is the greatest Bhakta. Artha Artharti Bhaktas are selfish Bhaktas. I need money, I go to God, pray, and God will give me. Artharti means I in distress. My house is on fire. Some problems in my family life. He is called as Artharti. In difficulty, you go to pray. Or you need, you go to pray. Artha Bhakta, Artharti Bhakta. And then the third Bhakta is Jignyasu Bhakta. The one who wants to know the real essence of Jiva and the real essence of the world. In the 14th chapter, the last 27th verse, Lord Krishna says, Shankaracharya writes a very beautiful commentary. And he says, that Jignyasu Bhakta is the one who gets moksha. Moksha means freedom from Jiva Bhava. I don't consider myself to be a samsari, somebody who's facing sorrow in life. Sorrow goes away because through knowledge, Lord Krishna says, I will remove the samsara in your mind. Through knowledge. Your sanchita is burnt, your agami never comes, only you live prarabdha karma, which means you live a jivan mukta life. While living, you tell everybody, or you don't need to tell everybody, you know yourself, I am ever free. That ever free nature, which we all enjoy after this jnanam, is that pure state of awareness. So if Drona, Bhishma are all this eternal Atma, you don't worry, go and fight. That is what Lord Krishna teaches Arjuna. May you go and fight. Do Swadharma. Swadharma means do your duty. So, Arjuna is taught Dhritarashtra Uvacha in the first mantra of how the Bhagavad Gita starts. It says that Arjuna was facing the battle, it was in the battlefield. We have seen this portion, and then he was about to slip the bow from his hands, all that we have seen before. So what he wants to say is, through this Atma Jnanam, you understand you are not the body which is dying, you are not the mind with sorrow and delusion, you are the Atma. Jnanam is the central teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Go and fight the war is not the teaching. That is only a duty. It says go and do your duty. Arjuna's duty was to fight the war. What is your and my duty? We have to run our family. Do the duty for the family. Earn money, spend money for the family, do your duty. While doing the duty, understand Atma. Get the knowledge of this Atma from Bhagavad Gita. The central teaching is not karma, the central teaching is jnanam. Follow dharma as a grihastha, brahmachari, vanaprastha. These are three ashramas. But mentally become, have vairagya. I am the pure Atma. Mentally you can drop, I am not the body. See, in this verse, what is important in all these verses from 12 onwards till 30 is, Lord Krishna says, be a grihastha, be a jnani. You don't need to be a sannyasi to have this knowledge. It is easier if you become a sannyasi, but it is not a necessary condition. As a grihastha, we can get this knowledge, like Yajnavalkya was a grihastha. Lord Krishna was a grihastha. We too, as a grihastha, can attain this jnanam. And what is this jnanam? It is Atma Jnanam. It does not require, it only requires Viveka and Vairagyam. Viveka and Vairagyam are two qualifications at the mind level. So what do we have to do? We have to educate our mind and become free. So what aspect gets freedom? What aspect is got bound? The mind is bound, and the mind or the intellect gets free. Now we are going to start the next verse, the 19th verse. And the 19th and 20th and 21st verses, they are all three groups of one group of verses. And a very important verse, 19, 20 and 21. Don't miss these verses, because They are the heart of Bhagavad Gita. They have been lifted from Kathopanishad. If you have done Kathopanishad with me, you will remember that. Even if you have not done, Bhagavad Gita is an essence of Upanishad. In Kathopanishad, there is an 18th mantra in the second section, first chapter. I have quoted this mantra, Najayate Mriyate Va Vipaschit. Nayam Kutaschin Babuva Kaschit. Ajo Nitya Shashvato Yam Purano Na Hanyate Hanyamane Sharire. And then the 19th verse is also there. What it means is, it is teaching me that Atma is akarta, it never does action, and it is not a bhokta. Bhokta means it is not an object of anybody's action, Atma. Body is karta. Body has got karma, indriyas, it will do karma. But Atma, which is ever there, is nirvikara swarupa. Therefore, we say it is akarta. Gita Shastram is withdrawal from samsara. It eliminates sorrow and delusion and attachment. All the Vedic mantras, they are meant to teach us how to live a problem-free life with the help of knowledge of Atma. So the 19th verse is the 19th verse of Kathopanishad. 20th verse is the 18th verse of Kathopanishad. The central teaching is, we have to drop our notion in the mind. I am a karta. Karta means doer. I am a bhokta. Bhokta means I am an object of action for others, or I am an enjoyer. So Gita teaches us Atma is akarta abhokta. Atma is akarta abhokta means what? I am that Atma which is not a doer of action. I am the Dehi. Dehi means I am the indweller. 19th verse is a small verse. It is just an introduction verse. And then the 20th verse is a very, very important verse. Let me play this verse for you, the 19th verse first.
Ya enam veti hantaram. Ya enam veti hantaram. Yaschainam manyate hatam. Yaschainam manyate hatam. Ubhau tauna vijanito. Ubhau tauna vijanito. Nayam hantina hanyate. Nayam hantina hanyate.
What is the meaning of this verse? It says about the attitude of a person. What is the attitude in the battlefield? I am killing somebody. That is the doer. What about the other person? He says, I am being killed. Now here, Lord Krishna says, he says, I am the doer of action. I am the enjoyer of that action, result of that action. Both are the people who do not know the nature of Atma. That is the essence of this verse. Atma is not a killer. Atma is not the killed. It is not the karta. It is not the bhokta. See, when we say the person died because of cancer, what we mean is the body died, It is not the person. Person means you're talking about the soul. You're talking about Atma. So Atma is aham I. Aham pratyaya vishayam na vijanitaha. What Lord Krishna is saying is, those people who say, I am the karta bhokta, this is this is a notion which is born in the intellect. It is a notion, means it is a thought. Early in the morning when we become, when we wake up, what happens? You identify yourself with the body. And then immediately you start acting. I have to do this. You prepare a list of things to do. Today I have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's perfectly fine. Only thing in your mind, what Lord Krishna is teaching us is, you say the body is acting. I am present. In my presence, the body is acting. I am Atma. In the presence of Atma, the body is acting. What happened in the sleep state? In the presence of Atma, the body has come back to me. The intellect and the body, which was working in the world, has resolved into I, the consciousness. So I has got two meanings. One is the popular meaning, which is Vachyartha. Very important word in Vedanta. Popular meaning is the body. I am so and so. You are referring to the body. But when you study Bhagavad Gita, I has got another meaning. And that meaning is called Lakshya, indicative meaning. Sakshi, suppose you tell yourself, I am Sakshi. It is not the Vachyartha. It is not the direct meaning. It is not the popular meaning. I am Sakshi is indirect, it is secondary meaning, it is that secondary I is akarta. Karta bhokta as a body is correct. Subject of action is the body, I am karta. Object of action, if it is the body, I am kid, I am the bhokta. Lord Krishna says, both of them who identify with the body as the self, they are ignorant people. No doubt the body is born, no doubt the body dies. Na hanyate, I as Atma, I do not kill, I do not have any action to perform. In the field of action, there is a subject, there is an object, there is an instrument of action, there is a locus. Atma transcends all actions. Sanchita, Prarabdha, Agami, Punya Papam, all these belong to the body only. They do not belong to the Atma. Atma is free from six modifications. What are the six modifications? Shad vikaras, we have studied in Tattva Bodha, asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, vinashyate. That details we are going to study in the next verse, which is verse number 20. In the verse number 19, you should only remember, Atma is not a karta and a bhokta. Karta bhokta belongs to the intellect, the vijnanamaya kosha. We all have got five koshas, which we studied in Tattva Bodha. I am assuming all of you have studied Tattva Bodha because that is the primary text for the study of Bhagavad Gita. Next week, very important class. Don't miss it, because we are going to know, we are going to study Shankaracharya's Bhashyam, which tells us, which teaches us that all of us, by nature, we are Atma, and this Atma is immortal. Very important verse. A lot of people who are old people, they come and join the class. Many people, they come and say, I have got fear of death. There is only one verse in the whole Bhagavad Gita. You want to cross immortality, understand this Shankara Bhashyam of the 20th verse. And meditate continuously on it. I am the Atma. I am the Atma. Next week, we will study what is this verse, number 20. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachade Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.